Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.45 The Zone, 918. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Have some fun with Tennessee Lottery Instant Games. Play the May Instant Games. Top prizes range from $5,000 to $500,000. Go by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer. Well, coming up on Sunday, one of the great events on the American sports calendar every year, Memorial Day Sunday, always means the Indy 500. We are joined by Mark Janes, who's the voice of the Indy 500. You can hear it right here on The Zone on Sunday. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for being part of our family. We appreciate it. Looking forward to Sunday for sure.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about it, just actually calling the race itself. I announce a lot of games in different sports, but I've never done any racing. What are the challenges of coordinating all that with such a big track and trying to, you know, make sure you keep everybody involved and just cover, you know, all of that 2.5 mile track?
Well, I had the advantage, I guess, of working at AAA for a number of years, and we've got the Road to Indy, which is a three-tier series that leads to IndyCar, and I was able to anchor Indy Lights, which is the top rung of that ladder before they make the move up to the big cars, and anchored that here for a number of years, had the chance to anchor MotoGP here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and then I worked around anchors like Paul Page and Bob Jenkins and Mike King and our good friend Doug Rice from Performance Racing Network, and just I gleaned a little bit from them in terms of how to manage a show, and essentially that's what you are. As a head football coach, you have coordinators you rely on. As a conductor, you've got the orchestra you rely on. There's a number of examples I could give. I would say that ours is a bit more like organized chaos because there's about 14, 15 broadcasters that we have to manage in terms of commercial breaks and things of that nature. It's not a physically exhausting a challenge. It's mentally exhausting, and it takes about a day and a half to kind of recuperate, or at least it does for me. This is my fourth year as anchor, but as you all well know, you surround yourself with good people who are good at what they do and passionate about it, and that'll make it all come together a lot simpler for sure.
Mark, it seems like each year those Indy cars take on different characteristics. What's been noticeable this time as you've watched qualifying and the practice sessions?
Well, I think, the drivers have said with the initial incarnation of the DW12 chassis that it was pretty well stuck to the racetrack and it wasn't much of a challenge to drive. And you could easily work your way around places like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with your throttle to the floorboard. And they wanted to change that. They wanted the tires to wear quicker. They wanted the car to have downforce taken off of it. And they wanted to make it tougher to drive, and that's exactly what they've done. And to that end, you have the veteran experienced teams like James Hinchcliffe and Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, who sometimes struggle to make the race. They missed it last year, and they survived by the skin of their teeth this year, getting into the 11th throw of the race. So I think the drivers like Alexander Rossi, who like, quote-unquote, a loose race car that's a little freer, and Will Power is another one, guys like that have thrived a bit under this particular incarnation of the chassis, and for other drivers who like a stuck race car, it's taken them a little longer to get comfortable with it, no doubt.
The voice of the Indy 500, Mark Janes, is our guest this morning. The race is coming up on Sunday.
Yes, Mark, what do you think about Joseph Newgardner? What do you think of his chances, to compete?
Well, I think Joseph is driven along with his teammate Simon Pagenaud, much like their teammate Will Power was a year ago. I mean, you go into the Team Penske headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you see 17 baby boards propped up there, and none of them have your name on them. I know Joseph is proud to be the series champion, but let's face it, when you win here, it changes the way you're introduced. Mm-hmm. Al Unser Jr., a six-time winner at Long Beach, but people called him a two-time winner of the Indianapolis 500, and I think Joseph's very aware of that, and he's also aware of the heritage and the tradition that is Team Penske. Gosh, he's got enough of a task beating his three teammates with Elio added back into the mix in search of his fourth. But I tell you, a lot a lot for you Tennesseans to be proud of, because he is the total package. He is as fan friendly as anybody, and he's a bad dude in a race car for sure. And I think if you go to Vegas with the odds on Joseph Newgarden, you stand a good chance of making some money on race day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, growing up in Indianapolis, going to Cathedral and Ball State, man, Indy was just a part of way of life. I guess tell some of the people here from Tennessee some of the other things to do as far as on the infield and things you do leading up to Indy 500 to entertain them.
Well, don't hold this against me, but I went to high school with Rick Strife, longtime Cathedral football
coach. So, okay, but, yeah, I know Strife, yeah. And he just retired.
We're both Monrovia grads. Well, I tell you, I moved to Speedway about 5 years ago. I could walk to the start finish line in about 15 minutes. And to be honest with you, when the calendar turns over to May 1st, that's when the energy starts to build, and it builds in Speedway proper immediately, and then sort of works its way toward downtown Indianapolis. You know, there's a mini marathon, and then there are other events, so Rev Indy fundraising events here and around the Speedway. And now we've added the IndyCar Grand Prix in early May, which kind of gets us back to a more full month of May as it used to be once upon a time. And it just continues to build. And I'm standing on the fourth floor of the media center looking out over the infield. And we had some pretty significant rainfall here this morning, but it has not deterred the thousands upon thousands of fans who will be here. They'll watch IndyCar practice. They'll watch the Freedom 100 for the Indy Lights, which is always an entertaining race, and then cap off the day with Kool and the Gang and Foreigner as the infield concert. And then, of course, tomorrow, Legends Day here, former drivers of the 500 show up, and people turn out in mass for that, and the drivers meeting. One of the largest parades in America, the 500 Festival Parade, is downtown, and then the party continues right up and into the start of the 500 on Sunday, and then wraps up on race day. And I would say everyone breathes a collective sigh of relief the day after the race, because there's a lot of energy that gets built up over the course of this month, for sure. It's an amazing thing to be a part of.
No doubt.
Mark, you've obviously bore witness to a lot of Indy 500s. The popularity of IndyCar racing has definitely had its ups and downs over the last 20, 30 years. But what is it about the Indy 500 that it never seems to lose its prestige?
Well, I think over the course of the month, you get stories about people who have attended their, you know, this is their 75th consecutive 500, their 72nd consecutive, their 60th, their 55th. And by and large, most of those people seem to drag their subsequent generations along with them, and then it becomes their tradition. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think because of the promotion of the president of IMS, Doug Bowles, and his staff, as you mentioned, it's the popularity of the sport as a whole has gone through ebbs and flows. But I think the reason that this has been able to sustain its popularity and interest from the fans is because of the fact that there's a whole great big tapestry that a lot of stories are woven into, and people just love being a part of a spectacle of it, for sure. And I know when you talk to politicians, for instance, we'll have our Governor Eric Holcomb in the booth with us later today. Eric Holcomb will tell you that when he goes overseas on international trips, one of the first things that the foreign dignitaries ask him about is what's it like to go to the Indy 500 every year. So I think everyone here is very, very proud of that. And when you hear those stories, those that have not been here, believe, for instance, that, you know, that it's something that they want to be a part of. We met a young man last year at Gateway, just outside of St. Louis, and he's from Australia. And after he experienced an IndyCar race, he went home, bought his tickets, his airfare and everything, and he's here this weekend enjoying the Indy 500 because he's tired of watching about it. He wants to experience it. He's doing that full bore this weekend for sure.
How do you explain the success of Scott Dixon, who's won it five times? You know, to me, just watching, and you know way more about this than I do, it just seems like, what do they always say? You know, you can't win the Indy 500, early on in the going, but you can certainly lose it. And Dixon seems to be a guy, you know, who sort of avoids trouble and seems to manage his car as well as anybody out there.
I think you sum it up very, very well. It is a bit surprising that with those five championships included in that is only one win at the 500, but I think the thing, they call him the Iceman, And I think it's because of what a cool customer he is to the race car. And if I've seen it once, I've seen it a hundred times with Scott Dixon. He may not have the car to win the race, but he knows how to get a top three or a top five out of it. And for those that have the time, you can go on IndyCar.com and look up the driver stats. And his percentages of his 308 starts, the percentage of his finishes to the top three, the top five, the top ten, laps led and the race is finished, it puts him in a stratosphere with the likes of A.J. Foyt and Al Unser and Mario Andretti. And I've been privileged to watch one of the, I think who will lead this sport someday is one of the greatest open wheel racers ever, for sure.
Mark, we're looking forward to the race on Sunday. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Guys, my pleasure. Take care. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you later. The voice of the Indy 500, that's Mark Janes, hearing him on IndyCar Radio, IndyCarRadio.com. Right here on The Zone, we'll have the race for you on Sunday. The greatest spectacle in racing.